Identity theft is a big word these days. Are you experiencing identity crisis? Or are you feeling like your Christian life is lacking in power? This week, I'm going to start a new series of messages called Identity Transformation. It will radically change the way you live out your Christian faith. After the message, there's also a powerful testimony I don't want you to miss, so stay tuned.
Every one of us, without exception, have our identity in someone or something. Even young children, they have their identity in their parents. And therefore, wherever is our identity, that's where we draw our sense of security, our confidence. Now, there are some people who see their identity in their title, whatever that may be, and that's where they have their confidence. There are others who see their confidence and their identity in their profession, whatever that profession may be. Some people see their identity tied to their net worth, and therefore everything about them is in that identity. I'm sure by now you get the point. I believe the Lord wants every one of us to begin to shift from seeing our identity in someone or something to seeing our identity only in Jesus. Why? Because He loves us enough to know that any of these things can be lost. But our identity, when it is in Jesus and only in Jesus, it can never be lost. So, He uses all possible means to bring the children whom He loves so dearly to shift or to exchange whatever their identity may be in to be in Jesus and only in Jesus. Why do you think the New Testament writers, when they're introducing themselves, they don't give their credentials? They all start by saying, whatever the name is, Paul, Peter, John, Jude, James, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's where they found their identity, their true identity. I am bringing you a series of messages about identity transformation. And the clearest picture of this identity transformation is found in the life and in the writings of the Apostle Peter. Because God had a wonderful plan for Peter's life, just as He has a wonderful plan for every one of your lives. God began in Peter's life to make shifts, to make identity transformation. Question: shifted from where to where? From whatever it may be, and it may be different for everyone in this room, different for everybody who's watching around the world. Whether it is your achievements, or whether it is your business savvy, or it is your strength, or it's your appearance, or it is your outward appearance, whether it is the pride of race or pride of place, whatever it is, the Lord will want to shift it. He wants to transform it from being tied to that thing to being tied with Jesus and only Jesus. Here's the one thing that I can tell you about God transforming power of our identity. Whatever He strips out of you, He will replace it with something far more stupendous than you ever thought possible. Whatever He gives you is going to be far greater than what He removes out of your life. Whenever you place your whole identity in Jesus, it is far superior than all the mirages of our identities. St. Peter is a rich study of this all-important aspect of our Christian life. He was a man who found his identity in his self-confidence, in his self-adequacy, in his bravado, in his false pride, and the bragging about things. These were his security blankets. These were the sources of his confidence. These were the essence of his reputation, and they were so important to him. But if Jesus was to use him to change the world as he did with all the other 12, he had to do identity transformation in his mind and in his heart. I don't have to tell you this. Peter's name looms large in all the four Gospels. Peter stood head and shoulder over and above all the other 12. Peter left us with a deep footprint, deeper than all of the 12 put together. Please, 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 please listen to me. You would be making a colossal mistake if you think, because I am not her, I cannot be used of God, or because I don't have his gifts, I cannot be as effective for God and I can't do things for God, or because of this, or I lack that, or I lack the other thing, I cannot be used of God. Listen to me, the 12s could not be more different than each other. They were very different from each other. And yet, God used every one of them equally, differently, but equally. Look with me, please, very closely at Peter's life. And I don't want you to focus so much on Peter, but I want you to focus with me on the transforming power of God, the transforming power of Jesus in transforming Peter's identity. This is really what I want you to focus on, Jesus, not so much Peter. What are the two areas in which Peter saw himself, saw his identity, and therefore his security blanket and his confidence? There were a number, but let me summarize them into two, just two, just for the purpose of our time here. The first one is the Sea of Galilee and fishing, and knowledge of the Sea of Galilee and a knowledge of fishing. That was his thing. That was his expertise. That's where his confidence is. The second one is his outward courage, which is always an indication of hiding something inside. But I'll get to that in a minute. And here's what Jesus does. He hones in on those two things like a laser beam. He hones on those two things in Peter's life. And I want you to look with me at the consequences of what God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, began to do in this identity transformation. Chapter 1, it's not chapters in the Bible, there's chapters 1 in Peter's life. Chapter 1, they've been fishing all night. Think about this, this man is an expert. Fishing all night, catching nothing, not one. And there's no doubt in my mind that Peter was thinking, you know, that just couldn't happen to me, surely. I know fishing. I know this lake. These things just don't happen to Peter. And so he comes back in the morning bone tired, and not a fish to show for it. And then he sees the crowd, and Jesus says to him, Peter, let's get in the water. I mean, in his mind, he's probably thinking, well, okay, I failed. I'm not used to failing, but I failed this time. Well, next time, I guess I'll do better. But Jesus made things worse. He really did when he asked him to go into the water in the middle of the day. And the sun is beaming on that lake. It's extremely hot. In the middle of the day, Jesus said, okay, Peter, when you got to the middle, he said, now throw your nets. What's going on in Peter's mind? I'm embarrassed enough to be seen on the lake in the middle of the day. Let alone fishing in the middle of the day. There is no self-respecting fisherman who would be seen fishing in the middle of the day. Lord, I have a reputation to protect. I have a name to uphold. I have a dignity to guard. He probably was tempted to say, Lord, you don't understand. We dry our nets during the day. Little fishies go to sleep during the day. Have you ever been in that place? When you stood there and the Lord stripped you from the very thing that's been the source of your bragging. When your self-adequacy have been challenged. When you thought, I know more about this than anyone else. And here comes transformation number one. First step. But that's only the first. They get there in the middle of the lake in the middle of the day and they get more fish than they could handle. Chapter 2. I already told you, as we saw here, Peter born a leader. He really was. He was born a leader. Leadership was not Peter's problem. Peter had a pride issue. Peter had a self-adequacy issue. And many of these problems needed to be replaced, needed to be transformed by his wonderful and stupendous things that only Jesus could give him. And so the next encounter with Peter was where? On the lake, in the water, where his identity has been formed through the years, which was the first area that Jesus wanted to transform. And no sooner do the disciples get into the boat than a violent, raging storm started brewing. It got so bad that the boat was bobbing on the surface of the water like a cork. Obviously, this storm was not like anything they've ever experienced before. And so they panicked, and that's understandable. By the way, a lot of people are going to blame them. No, 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 don't blame them. It's understandable for them to panic. But guess who panicked the most? Peter. He not only panicked, he even doubted if the Lord cared for them. Probably what's going on in his mind is, man, I know this lake like the back of my hand. I thought this is the area of my expertise. I thought this is the area of my strength. I thought this is the area of my self-adequacy. I thought this is the area of my self-confidence. And no one can deny any of that. But the Master was preparing him as he's preparing you. He really is. He's preparing every one of us to do great and mighty things for him. Amen? And so Jesus takes authority over the storm and he stops it. And here's another layer of confidence begin to build in Peter's life. Confidence where? In the Lord. Chapter 3. Peter's identity began to be transformed. This time was about walking on water, not fishing. We got that worked out. He got that confidence built. And so Peter's confidence began to build in the Lord. If this is Jesus who's walking on water, surely if he says to me to come and walk on water, I know I could do it. If he said it, it can be done. My confidence in him has grown to the point that I know I could do it if he commands it. And so Lord says, come on, Peter, start walking on water. And he started walking on water, and all of a sudden the old Peter came back and said, hey, look at me, boys, I'm walking on water. And he took a dive. And the cry was, Lord, save me. What's happening here? Peter began to trust in Christ's sufficiency, not his own sufficiency. He began, and it's another layer. Which reminds me, actually, of a true story of a missionary in the late 1800s who was in Africa. And he wanted to go from one town to the other. And they said, you need to hire one of the experts, one of those trackers, the guys who know how to get you there. They know all the paths. And so he hired this native guy. And so they're going through the bushes from one town to the next. And this guy was hacking his way with his machete, you know, through the bushes. And then after a while, the missionary began to panic. He really began to worry. And he said, where are the paths? And the expert said to him, he said, Bawana, In this place, there is no path. I am your path. You see, in our walk with Jesus, listen to me. In our walk with Jesus, He is the path. And He chooses to show it to you through His Word. How else would you know if you're not in the Word every day? Here's absolutely something that is absolutely true. I know I can show it to you from the Scripture. You know how parents, when they're teaching their toddlers to walk, and they fall, and they stumble, and they get a gash, and they bleed, and they hurt, and we hurt with them. We hurt for them. I am absolutely convinced that's how the Lord feels when we fall and stumble, when He's taking us through our identity transformation process. He hurts with us. Chapter 4. This has to do with the projection of self-confidence, which in reality, it covers up something inside. It's covering either fear or lack of courage on the inside. Jesus was telling the disciples that He's about to be delivered to evil men, to the hands of evil men, and He's going to be crucified, and He'll die on that cross, but He'll rise again. But all that Peter hears is that Jesus, the miracle worker, must be down on himself, and he needed Peter to pep him up. In expressing his dismay over what Jesus had just said, caused the Lord Jesus to say something to Peter that is extremely hurtful. It is extremely hurtful. You see, Peter projecting himself as a courageous man is one of those two big problems. Needed transformation. He projected himself. He's full of bravado. He's full of strength. Well, in the reality, he was not. And so he gets carried away, and he makes himself to be the protector of Jesus instead of the other way around. And what does Jesus do? He gives him the worst possible rebuke. Peter, you are the mouthpiece of Satan. Oh, the chief apostle. You're the mouthpiece of Satan. For this I came. For this I was born. In the same vein, in another incident, Jesus warns him as if to say to him, Peter, I am seeing straight through you. You don't have to pretend with me, Peter. You don't have to project a false image with me, Peter. Before dawn, you'll deny me three times. Peter does not deny Jesus to Pontius Pilate, most powerful man on the earth at that time in Israel. He did not deny Jesus to the high priest or the Sanhedrin. He denies Jesus to what society at that time considered to be the lowest of low. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying society consider a slave girl. And he swears, I don't know him. And the Bible said something that, if you see my Bible, is underlined, because every year I go through the Bible, I underline it one more time. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. That is why, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to Peter, as if to say to him, Peter, what I took away from you was to replace with far greater things. I exchange your independence to dependence on me. I have exchanged your false courage for real courage. Peter, I have exchanged false confidence with real confidence in me. I have exchanged false adequacies with my all-sufficient adequacy. Finally, on the beach, right there at the edge of the Sea of Galilee, before Jesus was taken up to heaven, He asked Peter the all-important question, and you probably heard many sermons about this, but I'm going to give you the summary of it. What's really Jesus saying is, Peter, do you really, really, really love me? That's really the bottom line. The old Peter would have said, oh, Lord, you know I love you. I'll die for you. You kind of... No. I, Lord. No. He didn't. See, the transformation began to take place in Peter's life. None of that. He says, Lord, you know everything. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, that transformed Peter can stand up and he preaches one sermon. 3,000 people give their life to Christ. That's a transformation that God wants to bring in every one of our lives. Let me tell you this as I conclude. Wherever you are today, only you know where you are. Wherever you are, you know where you place your sense of security. You know where your identity is tied. What your security blanket is. Is it your reputation or your education? Is it in your wealth or wanting acceptance? Is it on your accomplishments, your intellect? Whatever it may be, only you know. And here's what the Lord wants from every one of us, beginning with yours truly, is that we exchange this for true acceptance by God, for true wealth, for true power, for true confidence, for true adequacies.
Connect with Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org. There you can find today's message, shop the store for powerful resources, and discover how God is moving around the world. Download the free Leading the Way mobile app. Find us on Roku, subscribe to our podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Engage with the Bible and God's global work at ltw.org. Anytime, anywhere, any place.
Hello, my friends. Can God really change an ISIS leader? Yes, through Leading the Way and through our partnership together, he heard this changeless gospel of Jesus Christ with all of its power to transform a life, and his life was transformed forever. He turned from a person involved in terrorism to a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an amazing story. You will see it nowhere else except here. Stay tuned. You will not want to miss this.
I want to tell you a story. Peter is our new follow-up coordinator. He said he got a phone call on his cell phone, which we broadcast on our channel, and it was from a man, we'll call him Muhammad. And Muhammad said, I need to meet with you. Now, normally our guys would say, not a good idea. Let's talk first on the phone. But he felt the Lord was saying, go meet this guy. He turned out to be what is called a prince of ISIS, someone that other ISIS members swear allegiance to that they will die for.
The prince was a religious person in ISIS, and they considered him like a leader who teaches the Quran. He taught people how to memorize the Quran and urged them to jihad.
I grew up on the radicalism. I was raised to take back Islam to the era of Muhammad, the era of power and conquests. We began to form groups to defend the country and Islam. One day, somebody asked me why I am a Muslim. I had no answer. I began to search in Quran, Hadith, and Sunnah. I wanted to find proof and evidence that Allah exists and Islam is right. I found nothing.
The prince heard that I evangelized to Muslims. He got my number and called saying that he wanted to meet and talk. I had a strange feeling that he was from ISIS and that he might try to kill me. But I had a peace inside that the Lord would protect me, as he had a reason behind this encounter. So I set up an appointment, knowing that he could try to kill me.
When I went to Peter, I was scared, but I wanted to search for the truth.
So he went and he met with Muhammad, and he said the Lord spoke to him in that moment. He said, be bold with him.
I said to him directly, our God is not yours.
When I listened to Peter, I felt his words were arrogant. His words had awakened Muhammad, the radical one. Because of my anger, for a moment, I forgot why I came to Peter. I suddenly had one thought. How should I kill him?
He boldly proclaimed the gospel to this man, this bearded man.
He started crying while I was telling him these words.
What made me cry? I don't know.
While he was crying, I put my hand on his shoulder and started to pray. He then got up and left me. I felt he was not stable.
They met. They went their separate ways. He called again. The man came back very shaken.
I had a dream. Peter came to me and gave me a white envelope dripping with blood. The blood had a good fragrance like musk or perfume. When I saw the blood, I was scared. Peter said to me, don't be afraid. Then I woke up. Later, Peter told me, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
The prince asked, what should I do to ask forgiveness? I said, the Lord gave it to you for free. You just need to accept it. And gradually, I began to disciple him.
So they came together, and Muhammad said, Peter, I have a confession. I have to tell you that the first time I was going to meet with you, I intended to kill you. And I'm sorry. And he fell on his face, and he repented.
I began to visit Peter regularly, and I saw love that didn't exist in Islam.
He started walking with the Lord right away.
He shaved his beard. He changed his whole life.
Then he asked to be baptized.
Once I got out of the water, I felt a victory and a joy I could not describe.
He is conducting a Bible study for 3 Syrian people in his area.
The true book, in my opinion, is the Bible. I found the truth in Jesus Christ. And because I have surrendered my life to the Lord, I am certain he will never forsake me.
You won't hear it in the news, but God is moving in the hearts of radical Muslims like Muhammad, a former ISIS leader. Through 24/7 broadcasting and personal discipleship, thousands in the Muslim world are responding to the gospel. But many more still have yet to know the hope of Christ. Will you join us as we continue to proclaim gospel truth? Consider a generous gift today to Leading the Way. Call or visit us online at ltw.org.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.